Okay, good morning on this beautiful January day.
Good morning.
January-like day. And we're continuing. It's our third class since Simchas Torah. And just to make sure we're all up onto the same place, the first class we discussed the nature of Sefer Bereishis, working on your midos. If you have proper midos, then you're able to come to the Torah. If you're not able to develop your midos, the Torah wasn't given to such a person. Last week we discussed how Avraham Avinu had to move from being the man of reason to the man of faith. And he had to, as we said, develop a Yiddish cup. If you don't develop the higher levels of Chachma Bina Midas properly to understand the world in a divine fashion, you will not be able to develop your midos. So now this week, as with Parshas Vayera, and this is going to, the notes you have are for the next 2 weeks, and as we deal with the aspect of Chesed this week and next week, and we're going to learn this first mita of what does it mean to have Chesed in a divine fashion. So some of these ideas I've discussed in the past, so some ideas may be familiar. And a lot of ideas are not familiar. And so I don't know where we're going to end today. I know what time I have to end, because I need much more time to get to every other place. Everything, Sutton wants to make everything take longer. Even to get into this building takes longer. Right. To get into the other building takes longer with the parking over there. It's like every step is, Hashem's giving me lots of schar to work hard to do these things. So we'll see. The best part of this whole shiur is going to be next week, without any doubt. But you got to lay the groundwork always. It's always that part of laying the groundwork. People said, let's just get to the good stuff. Can't get to the good stuff till you lay the groundwork. So even though I've already told you about I try to make things in as good of an order as possible. But still, just for a brief moment, if you go to your page 5, point 66, just a little bit of discussing it, a psukim of Avraham Avinu over here. So it's just what the Chumash text is. Vayera Elov Hashem be'elone mamre, and Hashem appeared to him in elone mamre, v'hu yoshev pesach ha'oel, and he is sitting by the entrance of the tent, kechom ayom, by the heat of the day. Vayisa Einav, and Avram lifted up his eyes, and he saw Vihine, and behold, Shlosha Anashim Nitzavim Alav, three people are standing upon him, as it were. Vayar, he saw Vayaretz, he ran towards them from the tent. Vayishtachu Arza, and bowed down to them. So now, at this point, is he in the tent or not in the tent?
No, he's in the tent. He went out to greet them.
Is he in the tent or is he out of the tent?
I'd say out.
That's the only thing you could say. All right? He's definitely not in the tent. Just remember that, okay? Remember that. He's definitely not in the tent. Next pasuk. Vayomar, and he says, Adonai, my masters, my lords, if I find favor in your eyes, Al no savor me alav decho. Please don't pass on beside your servant. In other words, don't pass by. Don't leave me. Okay, that's all we need to know right now. That's all we need to know, these first three psukim. The points that we see over here are he's sitting at the tent on a hot day. He sees three people. He runs out of the tent. He bows down to them. And he says, please don't pass before me. Now, bring it all the way back to the beginning. First couple of Rashis. Rashi notices that the word yoshev, the word yoshev in the hove sense means sitting, but the Torah doesn't write it as yoshev. It's written yud shin vez, defectively. So there's something there if it's missing a vav. So therefore it could be translated not he is sitting, but who yoshav. Even though it's pronounced yoshev, but it's written yoshav, means he sat in the past tense. So what's the Torah hinting to us? Is the Torah hinting us that he wanted, when Hashem came to visit Avram, he wanted to get up. And Hashem said, sit, and I will stand. You can sit. And now, that should be the end of the Rashi. That should be the end of the Rashi. But no, Rashi continues. He said, Hashem said, you shall form an example to your descendants that I, in time to come, will stand in the assembly of the judges while they sit. You're going to be a role model that in the future, when Batei Dinim sit to judge cases, they will sit and I will stand. And it brings a pasuk to support that. So there's two obvious questions over here. What in the world are we Mishingarayim judges? Has nothing to do with the storyline over here. Absolutely nothing to do with the storyline over here. It's not like Avram's judging anybody now, and Hashem say, well, just like you're judging. No, has nothing to do with that. And second of all, why indeed does Hashem allow judges to sit in his presence? If anything, it should be the opposite. They should stand in his presence. And, we could have asked, well, why is Hashem letting Avram sit? Well, that we could answer, well, he's sick, you know, he's a chayla, so he's letting him sit. That I understand. But the whole judge's business just doesn't fit in at all to the storyline. Okay, let's move on to the next Rashi. The next Rashi, the word Adonai, Rashi says, can have two meanings. It depends who the word Adonai is referring to. If it's referring to the guests, that he's referring them as masters, then it's not a holy name. But if he's talking to Hashem, it is a holy name. So in the second interpretation in Source 4, he's saying, yeah, you could say that he's talking to Hashem. And he asked Hashem to wait for him while he ran and invited the guests. What's wrong with that interpretation?
How could he let Hashem wait?
Well, that's a general question. But Rashi himself is going to ask the question. I asked you, I went out of my way to ask you, when did he say these words, O my master? When did he say those words?
When he was out of the tent.
When he was out of the tent. He already ran and bowed down. So what's this idea of asking Hashem to wait while he ran? He already ran. What is Rashi saying? So Rashi says, I know what you're going to ask. So he continues, for although this is written after the words, and he ran to meet them, yet the conversation took place beforehand. So of course, you're telling me it's going out of order then. You tell me it's going out of order. I mean, first he ran, but then it says he asked, but really he asked beforehand. So it's not a problem, because we find often the Torah doesn't go in order. Well, but that answer is not going to really work over here, because if you notice in point 5, Marsha brings this idea out. He says, we only say the rule, there's no Torah doesn't go in order, is when we're dealing with two separate Torah sections. Let's say at the end of Parshas Noach, we're told that Terach died, and then the next Parsha, Avram Lech Lecha, but we know that Avram's leaving was well before his father died. Okay, Torah doesn't go in order, fine. But one pasuk to the next, the Torah doesn't go in order? That we don't find. So that's a major problem. What is Rashi trying to tell us over here? That really he said it afterwards. The Amira was before then. What is Rashi trying to tell us over here? Anyway, from this little pasuk over here, we have the famous rule, Gemara and Shabbos. Gedola hachnosas orchem. As you ask, what is the business? Is he telling Hashem, just wait? Remember, what does this mean? Avram says, listen, I know you came to visit me. Thank you very much. Just wait. Don't leave. I'm going to be busy for the next 5 hours. And then I'll come back and you'll be here for me. So we see the Gemara deduces a principle. Gedola hachnosas orchem me hakabalas p'nei shechina. We see from here that taking in guests is greater than receiving the divine presence, as it says. And he quotes this pasuk. So we see, and it even appears more, I don't want to get too into the weeds and the interpretation here, but it seems from the Gemara here, from the fact that Avram, if you're saying it was greater, it would appear that he really, not like Rashi saying it, that he first left without asking Hashem permission. As the simple reading of the text would suggest, he left. But that doesn't make sense. But it's saying he left without asking permission. He didn't have to ask for permission because it's greater. He was doing a greater thing. Okay, there's all kinds of discussion from other Gemaras. It appears that he didn't go until he asked permission from Hashem. The Gemara in Baba Metzia in Source 8 says he himself went out and saw Hashem standing at the entrance to the tent. And this Gemara seems to put in right as before he lifts. He says, "My Lord, if I found favor in your eyes, don't go away." So it seems that Hashem's presence was there when he did say it. So you see Rashi's, there's conflicting Gemaras, it seems. That, you know, when did he exactly say this? When before he left the tent, after he left the tent, along the Chumash, it seems one way Rashi's understanding. So it's very complicated. Which interpretation do we go with? So it's like, what is it? Is it from one Gemara, it seems he's asking permission before he leaves? Because it seems that Hashem is going to go away before he leaves. So don't go away from me. And then I want to say, well, after he left, he said, no, which really doesn't make any sense. So Rashi says, no, it means it was really before. It was always before. But if it's greater, if it's Achnasas Orchim, it's greater, it seems, why do we even have to bother to ask? So it's very complicated. What's the order over here? It's very hard to understand this.
Maybe that was the judgment he was doing.
Maybe, but we'll have to see. Now, there's a fascinating Rambam in Source 10. Fascinating Rambam. Now, just to give a little historical background, so you just appreciate what's going on over here, you have to know that, you know, the world of the printing press was never a perfect science. When the Rambam wrote his commentaries or his Sfarim, he wrote them with ink and pen and quill, and he wrote that. Okay, and then people would copy from that, and then finally printing presses. So a lot of things can happen from the original words that any person writes till they get into the printing press. So just on a personal level, so when I got married many, many years ago, one of the first sets of Sfarim you get is a Rambam, the Rambam Yad HaChazaka. So, and yet it is what it is. And, of course, one of the great things that in the Brisk dynasty, their main excitement and learning comes from analyzing the Rambam. The Rambam always seems to be different than the Gemaras. What did the Rambam mean? Doesn't Paschal like the Gemaras? And they come with all kinds of detailed halachic and pilpul to explain the Rambam's this and that and that. So if you're in Brisk, that's what it's all about. Anyway, about 40-odd years ago, came a new publisher, Shapsi Frankel. Shapsi Frankel, he said, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I'm going to make the best edition of the Rambam ever. Going to check out all the different ancient manuscripts and come up with what is the best, most accurate manuscript of the Rambam. And that was called the Frankel Rambam. And it was really made much, much nicer font and everything, and getting to all the details. That's that. I don't know if it's changed, but so the problem was I already had a Rambam, so then you had to get another Rambam. That's all the problem with Sfarim nowadays. Whatever safer you have, the years later, they make a better one. What are you supposed to do with the old one? It's a big problem. Anyway, so in his, and this really disturbed a lot of the world of Brisk, because many of the questions on the Rambam are answered if you realize the Rambam never said it, and it was as an erroneous text. And the proper text means there's no question in the Rambam, and then reams and reams of Chidushei Torah would seem to be not necessary. So, you know, in Brisk, they were kind of upset about it. But anyway, so here's one classic example where the later versions of the Rambam seem to say something different. And this is source number 10. Let's see if you could spot it out there. Ugdola achnasas orchim ke kabolas p'nei shechina. Hospitality to wayfarers is as great as welcoming the divine presence. Not greater, but as great. So that already answers the question, doesn't it? All the oh, it's greater. How can it be greater? Greater is greater. How can it be greater? We have to have all kinds of Torah to answer this greater. Oh, the Rambam, obviously Rambam had a different text of the Gemara. Now, not to say the Gemara doesn't have textual issues. So he says it's the same. Ah, it's the same. That already is a lot better, because it's kind of hard to say. How could it be that be makabel p'nei shechina, that a guest is greater than kabbalah p'nei shechina? So you're saying it's equal. But even if you say it's equal, so if it's equal, okay, Hashem's with you in a tent, wow, that's great. You got guests. So even if you say it's greater, okay, then you got to go. Although we don't understand, how could it be greater? But okay. So we have a question, how could it be greater? Now you're saying it's equal. Well, the question is, if this is equal to this, so why should you go? If it's greater, I can understand I have to go because it's greater. But if it's equal, then stay where you're at. Doesn't quite make sense. And the whole idea is difficult because later on, where do I have it? 17, Mesilas Yesharim says clearly, Hashem created the world for only one purpose, for man to delight with Hashem and to derive pleasure from the radiance of the Shekhinah. That is the true tanug that exists. So everything you do in life, all your mitzvahs, all that you do, it's for that one purpose, for you just to bond with as they say in the modern parlance now, to chill with God. All right, so he's chilling with God. God is coming to him. They're whatever they're doing when they're having dveikas together. It's like, and now comes the mitzvah. But the whole point of the mitzvahs was for him to chill with God. So what are you going doing a mitzvah for? How can you say it's greater to a mitzvah? You can say, well, it's just to get to the chilling. But the chilling is l'mais, that's the tachlis. If that is the tachlis, don't go to things that's the step before the tachlis. If the goal is to be with God, so you hit the goal. So when God's finished giving you all that yummy pleasure, you move on to the next mitzvah. And if he's saying it's equal, then for sure it's go. So what is going on over here? Hopefully we get a great insight into this. Now, you could ask. I don't know if I'm going to answer it.
The question that the front comes. Could it be that he made a mistake?
He made his decisions from many, many different manuscripts. And you make a decision based on the best information you have possible. Okay. So, when you look at a Parsha, Parsha's Vayera, if I would ask you, what are the big points in Parsha's Vayera? What's the main things in Parsha's Vayera? What would be your first five answers? Number one survey says, number one answer is, what?
The guests.
The guests? I don't know if that's number one answer, but it's one of the top five. Bing, it's on the board. Okay, another answer?
Sodom.
The second Sodom. Bing, that's on the board. Next.
Sarah was going to have news that she was going to have a baby.
Well, that's part of having the guests. We can include that in. That's already in there. Okay. Bismillah was last week's Parsha. Okay, how about Akedas Yitzchak? Would you say that's on the board? Bing! Birth of a child, Yitzchak. Bing! Throwing Yishmael out. Bing! Those are the big five. Avimelech abducting Sarah. Bing! Okay, I would suggest that the pasuk we're going to do here, always the most important psukim are the sleepers. The ones you just go through, you don't even know what it means even. I would suggest that in Source 19, Perek Yuches, is the critical pasuk. And it should at least be on the board in the survey. Now, this is a very hard pasuk to understand. So you're going to need your indulgence for us to thrash through it. Only because how important the pasuk is. I normally wouldn't go so in-depth in a pasuk, but this is like a really important pasuk. So bear with me. The context of the pasuk is, after Avram's had the guests, and the guests have left, the guests are going out of Sodom to destroy Sodom, and now they've decided they're going to destroy Sodom. So now Hashem is, as it were, debating within himself, should I tell Avram I'm going to destroy Sodom or not? And the final decision of yes or no is this pasuk. And this pasuk saying why he is going to tell him. So in 19, I got the Hebrew. I just gave you any English translation. Doesn't matter because you cannot translate the pasuk. It just doesn't translate. Then we'll try Unkelus. And then we'll see what Rashi, Ramban, and Rambam all seem to say the same thing over here. So when you look at some English translations, don't take them literally, just put it there. So Hashem says, well, you know why I'm going to tell him? Ki yadativ. I'm just going to give you how we would normally translate the words, but that doesn't mean that's the final interpretation. Ki yadativ, because I know him. I know of him. Lama'an, because, that's what Lama'an means, because, or in order that, or because, Asher Yitzav his son, if he'll command his sons, Vesbeisuach his household after him, For what? Vishamron, they will guard Derech Hashem, the way of the Shem. Lasos tzedaka umish, but to do righteousness and judgment. Laman, in order. Havi Hashem el Avram, al Avram es Hashem Devil. That Hashem will give to Avram what he promised, meaning rewards. Okay, now the way I translate this pasuk, it already still doesn't make any sense. What doesn't make any sense? I know him, Lama'an, because he commands his children. That's not how you know him. You wouldn't say the word because. You could say, take out the word Lama'an. Just take the word out. Kiyadativ, I know that he commands it, he will command his children. What's this Lama'an? It has no translation in the pasuk. Does not make any sense in this pasuk. So Targum is trying to deal with it. So how does he deal with it? He just kind of skips it. When he translates the pasuk, he kind of skips the word Lama. Look what the Targum, I said the English, sir. I know regarding Avram that he will instruct his children, blah, 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 blah. He just kind of skips the word Lama because he has no other way of understanding the pasuk. So Rashi and Ramban and... It would appear the Rambam, but for sure Rashi. Rashi says, well, there's another meaning to the word yedativ. Another meaning. Yedativ, loshoin chiba, is an expression of love. And he brings some sources, I didn't put it down there. They're placed in the Torah where yada means to love. He says, the ikr loshin, ein eloshin yedia. You know, the primary meaning is knowing, certainly knowing, but if you really love somebody, and you have affection to the person, and you're attached to the person, so you know the person. Who do you really know? The people you hate their guts, or the people that you love? The people that you're attached to. Someone you're attached to, you know them, right? You're with them all the time, you're connected, so that's how you know them. So I know him, but I know him because I love him, because I'm close to him. So the real meaning is kiyadativ. I love him. I'm close to him. We're connected. Now the word Laman fits in very nicely. You know why I love him and we're connected? Laman, because he will command his children to go into Derech Hashem, etc., etc., etc. That's how Rashi and Ramban both learn this. And that's as you see in Rashi 21, 22, 23. Thus, and what it say in the third Rashi over there, they're going to keep the thus, and why he says, thus will he ever command his children keep the way of the Lord in order that Hashem may bring upon Avram all these blessings. Okay, so let's try to say the pasuk is explaining that Hashem chose Avram, and why is he has to tell him about stone? Because it's what's the issue to tell or to not to tell? The answer is, well, you know, can you imagine you're close with somebody? Let's say you're close to your spouse. Yeah. Let's say you're close to your best friend. All of a sudden, you decide to make a career change. Do you just call your spouse and say, hi, I'm in Dallas. Where are you in Dallas? Oh, I took a new job in Dallas. No, you probably let them know beforehand, you know, what you're thinking about. But if you're not close, you know, what if you meet a person, you haven't seen a person for 5 years, you meet them at Sobeys. You live in Dallas now. Yeah, I live in Dallas. Okay, that's fine. You know, doesn't matter. We're not close. Doesn't matter. But if you're close, how can Hashem go and destroy Stone without telling Avram? He's close with him. So that makes sense a little bit. So the pasuk is explaining that Hashem chose Avram because he'll instruct his children to go on the ways of Hashem. But still, you know, why didn't you just say, I'm going to tell him because of this? What's this that I love him business? But more important, what's this tzedakah mishpat? He's going to tell him the tzedakah mishpat. That's why they're going to do tzedakah and mishpat, so I'm going to give the blessings to Avram. So wait a minute. So what does it mean? So what are we saying? I love him because he's going to teach his children to go on the Derech Hashem, to do tzedakah and mishpat. Why? So that I will give blessings to Avram, and certainly to Avram's children as well. Oh, it sounds very much shalol lishma. Sounds to be ulterior motives, isn't it? He's going to train his kids to do tzedakah and mishpat. Why? So the blessings will come off. That's why you're training your kids to do tzedakah and mishpat? And what's this Derech Hashem doing over here? Just say to you, you're going to do tzedakah mishpat. So the whole pasuk, no matter how you slice or dice this pasuk, there's all kinds of problems over here. The Targum tries to give you the most simple shot. I'm going to tell him because he's going to train his children to go the way of Hashem, blah, 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 blah. But why do you have to say tzedakah mishpat and Derech Hashem? And they're doing, you know why they're doing it? So they get rewarded. That's what they're doing it for. To get blessed. And we're saying, Hashem says, I love him. I love him. And if you don't say he loves him, love him at least fits in it. Because this is why I love him. So what does this pasuk mean? It's a very, very difficult pasuk. So then we go to the next section. Basically, what is Derech Hashem? That's what we got to talk about. What does it mean that he's going to instruct his children to go in the Derech Hashem? Parenthetically, maybe they'll give us an insight into Lutzado's work, Derech Hashem. That's all part of it. Okay, what does it mean? So you got to go through this Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Deos, in the laws of Deos, really means mitos, character development. He has a whole section in his encyclopedia of mitos development. And he spends the first 4.5 chapters discussing mitos. Good mitos, bad mitos, extreme mitos, anger, humility, all the mitos. And mitos, not just that kind of mitos, but, you know, being a fresser and not being a fresser, abstinence, all kinds of mitos. Then he's coming into the end of the first chapter. He's coming to Halacha Hey. He's saying like this, Umut, and we are commanded, we have a mitzvah. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, skip something. And then he says, and the best way of mitos is what we call the golden mean, the Derech HaBeinoni, the in-between. Not to be too stingy, not to be a spendthrift, but somewhere in the middle be philanthropic. That's the way a person should go. Maybe a little bit more to generous. Okay, fine, even more. Maybe some mitos a little bit more in this direction. There's better mitos, there's worse mitos. This is the middle ground. Now, he says in 27, and we're commanded to go in these ways, these middle ways, and they are the good paths and the straight paths. How do we know we're commanded? It says in Devarim, the halachta bidrachav, you should go in God's ways. It's one of the 613 commandments. It's going God's ways. And the question is, what kind of mitzvah is that? What does it mean exactly going God's ways? Am I going to do mitzvahs? Is that going in God's ways? I mean, am I not already going in God's ways? No. The mitzvah of halachta bidrachav means to go in this middle path. But more. Next halacha in 28. And that's what we say exactly what this mitzvah means. Many Gemaras that say, just like he is compassionate, so you have to be compassionate. Just like he's merciful, you have to be merciful. Just like he's called holy, you have to be holy. And that's all the descriptors that the Nevi'im write about Hashem, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed, Tzadik, Yosher, Tomim, Gibor, Chosek, all the descriptors of Hashem. Why are we told these things? To let us know that these are the good and straight paths that a person should conduct himself and emulate Hashem to the best of his ability. And if you emulate Hashem to the best of his abilities, this is the fulfillment of the mitzvah of the halachta bidrachav. Now, 29, he finishes off in Halacha Zayin. How do you get to this? He says a person has to practice. He has to keep doing them over and over and over until they become part of his nature. Right? And by getting himself into this middle ground and keep going over and over until they become easy for him. And they're not any difficulties. It's like part of, he's established, it's his standard default position in life till it becomes second nature. That's how you get it, and that's how you fulfill the mitzvah. And now in the bowl, this is the part we're leading up to here. Ulafi Shahashemosa Ela Nikurhemayoitzer, since these names and these qualities are names that we call God, Rachum Chanun, this and that. And the way Hashem does them, Vehemadrachim Habeinonim, and this is the middle way, the good way, Shonu Chayam, so we're obliged to go in these ways. Nikra Eis Derech Su, so this way is called Derech Hashem. This is the way of Hashem. The way of Hashem. Hashem has a way, so to speak, how he behaves, as it were. Hashem, when he does kindness, it's in a certain way, not extreme. It's exactly the way he does it. And we have to go in the Derech Hashem to do it the way he does. And now he ends off, V'ha-hoylech b'derechzu. And if you go in this way, Mevitova u'brocha la'atzma, you bring good and blessing to yourself. And which pasuk do you think he picks as the source for this? The pasuk we've been working on. Shenemar l'man avi Hashem al Avram eis asher diber alav. So that Hashem should bring the goodness and the blessing to him that he said he was going to bring. So now if we go back to that pasuk, the pasuk sings really nicely here. Ki yadat. You're going to merge Rashi, Ramban, and Rambam all together. It's going to be amazing. Ki yad, I'm going to do this pasuk a few times, over and over, until we get shot. Ki yadat, because I know him. No, I'm not. I know him. But I know how come I know him? Because I'm close to him, because I love him. Why do I know him? Why am I close to him? Because he's going to command his children to go and to keep the Derech Hashem. They're going to walk in my ways this way. And now Lasso, Tzedakah, Mishpat are two examples of the Derech Hashem. We still have to explain why he picks these two examples. And so that Hashem, I will bring all these blessings upon Avram. And that's what the Rambam says. He brings all these blessings upon Avram. Now we understand, what does that mean yet? So we have to add, it's a triumvirate. Rashi, Rambam, and Ramban. All three together seem to fit like a beautiful glove. So we're now on point 30. I explained it outside already. 31. The point is, the basis of Hashem choosing Avram is that he will teach his children to develop their character in a way to emulate Hashem. Good. And if you do this, it's bringing blessing upon us. Why? So now we go to 33, which the actual source is 34, the Ramban, but I just kind of said it in English in an easier way. But if you like the source insight, it's the Ramban 34. The 33 is what it means. It's the same pasuk. It hasn't changed. Perek Yud Ches, pasuk Yud Tes. It's even mentioned here. Yud Ches, Yud Tes, 18:19. Okay? So Ramban says, and I don't want to get into too much of a detailed discussion of this, but anyway, he talks about three types of hashkocha that exist in the world. Three types of supervision in the world. The first one is called hashkocha klalis, general hashkocha. He doesn't even really talk about that. But just to know, there's a general hashkocha in the world, and Hashem wants everything to run the way it's supposed to run. But he doesn't, as it were, supervise every single detail of it. He leaves it to his ministering angels and puts them in charge. So let's say, is there hashkocha on humpback whales? So there is. There's hashkocha klalis. There's the angel in charge of the humpback whales. Hashem says, make sure there's X amount of humpback whales throughout till Mashiach comes. And you deal with all the details. I couldn't care less. I know this guy's trying to kill the humpback whales and this and that. You take care of it. You make sure that humpback whales exist. You have my orders on that, and that's as far as I want to know. I don't care about Sammy the humpback whale or Fred. You know, I don't care. The ones, just make sure there's a good supply. Okay, and that's about a lot of things in this world. Butterflies, lions, tigers, wood, all kinds of things. All kinds of things. Goyim. Yeah, make sure there's Romans in the world for a certain amount of time, this and that. You take care of the details. I really couldn't care less. I do not have any personal relationship, particular relationship with anything in particular. Now, I don't want to get into the hashkafa, how can anything exist without Hashem? I don't want to go there. I'm just saying the way he behaves, the way he interacts. It's like, okay, you know, so let there be a forest fire in California, you know. Let them knock out, you know, 100 square hectares of thing. I don't care. As long as there's forests somewhere in the world and somewhere a few in California, you know, it's fine. I don't really care. Okay. Then there's a hashkocha pratis for Jews. A much more detailed hashkocha pratis for Jews because they're his children. So, of course, Hashem is going to watch a lot more, and he wouldn't let something really bad happen to any one of his children that he wouldn't want to have happen to his children. But, on the other hand, sometimes he wants his children to get punished. So he's going to be very, he's going to say, yeah, you got to punish him now. He did a bad thing, he's going to be punished. I really care what he did. And, you know, there's certain rules of Schar V'Onesh that Hashem is involved with. And even though it's much more of a focused hashgacha, but even then, you know, Hashem could say this, he's been a bad guy. So he goes to Malch and say, you know, give him some trouble, you know, whatever. Yeah, but what about this? Nah, just give him some trouble. Okay, now, then the Ramban says there's a third level. Special hashgacha pratis. And that's for, and I put in the bold in 34, Avol b'chassidov, with his pious ones, Yasume love libo ladas so befrat. He really wants every single detail. Leo shmirasa dovka botomi, that his watching clings to them constantly. Lo tipareda yediva schimer klal, and his knowledge them will not leave them at all. Period. Complete 24/7 alarm system. Mamisher, and another place they say, and Hashem will even do miracles for him that are not deserving for anybody else. So if anything happens to him, it's like they're holding his hand literally the whole time. That's like supreme Ashkacha Pratis. Supreme Ashkacha Pratis. Ramban is saying, this is what it's talking about in the Pasuk here. The Pasuk is, and really this is Mita Keneged Mita. A normal person is subject to nature, and if you just act with your nature, so Hashem deals with you in nature, Hashem protects you a little bit. A tzaddik who goes beyond his nature, then he's protected supernaturally. So when Hashem says, ki yedativ, that I know him, I mean, I know him because I'm connected to him, and I love him, and I'm close to Avram. You know why I'm so close to Avram? Because I know he's going to command his descendants to do what? To go in the Derech Hashem. Which means what? To emulate every single one of my ways. To behave exactly the way I behave. And what do we call such a person who does that? In Rambam's parlance, a chassid. Next week you'll see even more why he's called a chassid. But I can't do it all in one night. So therefore, and when you do that, and good examples of that is tzedakah u'mishpat. We'll have to describe why he picked those two, but tzedakah u'mishpat. When you do that, and you're emulating Hashem, and now you're so close to Hashem, then what does that mean? Hashem is watching you so carefully. So then the end of the pasuk has to come true. The end of the pasuk says, again, that what? Laman havi Hashem al Avram es asher diber lav, that I could do all the things I promised him. He'll be successful. He'll be successful because I'm watching every step of his way. Now, so this is the pasuk. This is pshat in the pasuk, and this is a key pasuk. We haven't heard anything like this in the history of the world up to this point in time. Where Hashem is saying that this is a fellow that I love, that I'm close to him, and when I'm close to him, he's going to have supreme hashgacha pratis. And why is that so? Because he's teaching his children to go on the derech Hashem, which to emulate my midos, though, you know, in any relationship, by definition, somebody who has people with polaric midos, hard to feel connected. You could be married, but it's a grind. It's a grind. It wears you down. But if your mom is same and similar, it's like a hand in a glove. It's like you're so tight. You have such a deep relationship. How can you have a deep relationship with Hashem only by what? By going into Derech Hashem, as the Rambam says, you emulate Hashem. You act exactly like Hashem. Of course, you're a human. You can't do it exactly. But whatever you can do to be exactly like Hashem, you are. That is the tachlis of creation. And obviously he's teaching his children that way. Obviously he is that way. And therefore they're going to have bracha. What's bracha? Bracha is success. Success. We'll see why in a minute. God says a little bit more. So now, what does this mean? That means when a Jew does, let's say, chesed properly. And that's a big definition. Because he wants to emulate Hashem. Very important point. Then Hashem goes with him wherever he goes. Which means that if you are doing a divine chesed, you're not doing it alone. Hashem and you are doing it, not even a partnership, we'll call it a joint effort. If you're doing divine chesed, which is still next week, you're going to find out what divine chesed is. Sorry, you got to come next week for the good stuff. Are you doing it? So when Avram is shechting the cow, it's like him and Hashem are shechting the cow. When he's waiting on the guests, it's like him and Hashem are waiting on the guests. Because that's how close they are. That's what it means. That's what the Ramban is saying is pshat in the pasuk. He's having supernatural hashkacha pratis. Every little thing he does. And if you're doing it, and if Hashem is doing it with you, how could you fail?
So he didn't leave Hashem.
Hang on. So let's look at 39. Now you're going to see this is what the Rambam is saying the whole time. Hospitality to wayfarers. Now, hospitality is, what does that mean? When you're doing hospitality in the Derech Hashem is as great as welcoming the divine presence. Really means that when a Jew does achnosas orchim, Hashem comes along with him to do the mitzvah. That's what the Rambam is saying. So when Hashem is visiting Avram in the tent, that's Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. And now that Avram's about to do divine chesed, he's going in the derech Hashem. Well, you'd figure Hashem also goes on the derech. So now, behaving like Hashem is Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. And that's what the Rambam is saying, because that itself brings or maintains the connection with Hashem. It's part of the pshat of Yedativ. I love him. So what's the proof? The proof is exactly what Rashi's trying to tell us over here. First, Hashem is visiting him. Then the pasuk says, Avram runs to his guests. And I ask you, is he in the tent? Not in the tent. He's not in the tent. Then he says to him, don't go away. What do you mean, don't go away? You already left, Hashem. So we think the pshat, don't go away, pasha pshat is, don't go away from the tent. If you'll, every till now, you learned the pshat, don't go away from the, we think it means, he's in the tent, Hashem's with him, Hashem, I'm leaving, I'm going back in about 5 hours, don't leave the tent. Avram's saying, no, he's just going. He's just, well, wait, Hashem's with him too. And he still sees Hashem there. And he bows down. And he says, Hashem, I'm going to be very busy doing a lot of mundane activities. Please don't leave me and stay and do all the activities together with me. And that's what Rashi's... And you only could understand that if the pasuk was written that way. Now, what Rashi means to say is, of course, he could have asked Hashem in the tent the same thing. It's no different. What Rashi's trying to say, it's no different than had he asked him in the tent before. It doesn't matter. The Torah writes it this way. It doesn't matter what way it is. Because why? Because Kabbalah Pnei Shechina, because Hachnasas Orchim is like Kabbalah Pnei Shechina. It doesn't matter where you are. So now, number one, you have to kind of say, it's not greater than Kabbalah Pnei Shechina. It's not greater. You know why? Nothing can be greater than that. It's not possible to be greater than that. The Rambam's Nusach would seem to be correct. It's as great. Once you're as great, you know, once you are infinity, you can't be infinity plus two. You can't be greater than the infinite. Right? So maybe, you know, so either that the Gemara's text is one letter off, or maybe it's just saying it in a way that we, human beings, little feeble human beings, can, you know, wow, it's amazing. But it logically can't be greater than Kabbalah Sfira. There's nothing more than Shekhinah. So what's he saying? So what Avram is saying is, listen, and what we're learning is like this. Whenever you're doing the Derech Hashem, you are always being Makabal Pnei Shekhinah. So therefore, now it's a no-brainer. He's with Hashem in the 10th Kabbalah Pnei Shekhinah. He's going to go now to serve the guests. It's still Kabbalah Pnei Shekhinah. Plus, you're taking care of the guests. So why not? This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. This is telling us that when a Jew behaves in a divine fashion, Hashem, that is Kabbalah Pnei Shekhinah. There can be no better Kabbalah Pnei Shekhinah. You don't have to come on to Lumdus. Well, if he does a mitzvah, then Hashem will reward him, and then he'll come back to more Kabbalah. You can't get more than Kabbalah Pnei Shekhinah. It's the infinite already. So now, that's what's going on over here. So Rashi's teaching that Avram really could have said it at any time. So therefore, it's not Hachnosas Orchim and Kabbalah Pnei Shekhinah are two separate things. Gemara is saying they're one and the same. They're equal. So now this is exciting. I'm up to 43 now, if you're following along. So now this answers another incredible question that I didn't ask, but it's obvious. Avram is 99 years old. He is not a young man. He has circumcised himself. To give you an idea what it's like, so many years ago I had to be present as an aide to a young man in his 30s who converted to being a Yid, kosher conversion, everything. And the person who he had to have a complete circumcision. So it was an Orthodox doctor who does these things. So I had to go to the hospital, put my scrubs on, and be present when the guy was circumcised. Okay? Where was he for the next 4 days? At home in bed. And he was a strong guy. He couldn't move. Now, how in the world is this 99-year-old man running to go and do this? It's not possible. It's not humanly possible. The answer is because he ain't running alone. It's Hashem is moving his legs. This explains the phenomena that people seem to do Herculean things when it's not possible. What do you mean it's not possible? When you got Hashem making the motor go, it goes. And that's all. It's not possible for it not to go. Right? So that's why he's able to run. Now, I did, unfortunately, skip a couple questions on the road here, and I got to now digress to it, because I wasn't sure where it was going to hold. So let's just go back, and this will now explain another two important chazal that I don't know why I skipped them. Maybe because they're not there. Where are they? Ah. Yeah, did I say it or not? Oh, yeah. 14 and 15. Did I ask these for something? I don't remember what I'm saying. Okay, yeah. 13, 14, 15. I didn't do that. I skipped that for some reason. So let's come back. Okay, so Hashem made it a very hot day, yeah? He made it a very hot day. And Hashem, because he didn't want to bother him. He didn't want to bother him. That's what Rashi says. Then says, Lufi Shirol Mitzar. He saw that he was suffering. He saw him was suffering, that he didn't have guests. So he brings angels in the form of people. Now let's think about that, Rashi. Before I said all this wonderful stuff. Now you're going to see the question is not such a big question anymore. But just because he wants to have guests, Hashem's going to make a miracle? In other words, what's going on over here? Hashem made it a hot day, so Avram should not be bothered, so he should recover from the bris. Okay, so there's no guests. There's no guests. There's no need. So what does it mean that Avram was grieved that he wasn't having guests? I mean, I understand, you know, we all like to have guests, don't you? To have guests, it makes the shop, just as you're getting older and your kids are, no kids in the house, it gets kind of lonely, just you and your husband. Like, what do you do a whole Friday night meal? So there's ways to get around that and have a good time anyway, just with your wife and her husband. But it's good to have some yeshiva bachram over. You know, have some guests. They'll say divrei Torah. They'll sing. You know, you know, my son Menachem in Lakewood, you know, if you're a good bacher, you get a lot of invitations because, you know, you sing good, you have good geshmak and divrei Torah and this and that. I like to have guests. Good job. You like to have guests. Shkoyach, you like to have guests. But is it having a guest for your pleasure? Is that what guests are about? We're starting to touch on touchy things here. Or is it because there's a need? It should be because there's a need, right? Should be because there's a need. Well, guess what? There is no need. There is no need. So knock it off. You don't need to feel bad. There's nobody needs a place to stay. Baruch Hashem, everybody's fine. Now, I can understand where this guy's in the desert and he's sweating. Oh, I'll come, I'll help you. Come here. Oh, it feels so good to help another person and I'm helping him and this and that. And I guess if there are lots of people going through the desert and go, and Avram says, I can't help them, I feel terrible, I could understand. But there was nobody there. So what's your problem, Avram? Ella, what? You really just like to have guests. Stop. Good. You like to have guests. You won't have guests today. No. No, Hashem has to do what? I'm going to make a miracle. To have angels come down like people. What is going on? And more than that, at the end of the day, did Avram actually do a chesed or not? No. How could you chesed with an angel? It's an angel, dressed up, it's a disguise, it's a masquerade, he's not a person. And he's not a person, what did Avram do? Can you imagine, let's say, whatever, somebody comes, a mashulach comes, and he tells a whole sob story, he's dying, everybody in his family's dying, like all 45 year olds, they're all dying, you know, mamash, all dying, and they all have to get married at the same time, and they're making a bris, and all these things, and he needs $10 million, you're not going to save his life, right? Okay, fine. Okay, and you go for the story. You might have spent weeks raising $10 million, right? Then afterwards, you find it was a scam. Did you do chesed? Nope. Not at all. So what would happen if somebody would have told you right before you wrote the check? You got the check ready. You ready to give the check? So it's a scam. Whoop, forget it. I'm not doing it. No, he said, no, do it anyway. Why not? I like giving. Avram, this was a scam. It's malachim. Now, and more than that, you'll find out next week that this Maisa Chesed becomes the Shulchan Aruch of Chesed. If you want to know how to do Chesed, we're going to, next week, we're going to dig into this story all the way in. I don't understand to begin with. It was angels. It wasn't even a Maisa Chesed. And to that, Hashem has to do a miracle to do him because he feels bad. He feels bad. He can't do any kindness. Oh, he feels so bad for him. He feels bad. You know, imagine you have this sometimes. You know, if Shabbos, you have all these. Sometimes you have, young professionals, single people who don't yet know what responsibility is. They don't know what it means to prepare a meal, right? And they tell you, prepare for 25 people to come, and only 3 come. Then you feel bad. You have no guests. So now Hashem should do a miracle and bring 22 guests for you? No. So what's going on over here? Right? Furthermore, the Gemara Baba Basra, source 15, Turnus Rufus, the wicked, asked Rabbi Akiva, if your God loves the poor, then why doesn't he support them himself? Why does he wait that they have to come begging for people? If Hashem loves the poor, just give them the money. And that's a good question of many secular Jews who don't give money to poor people. They hold like Turnus Rufus. To which Rabbi Akiva answered, you know what? Hashem gives us, does it that way, so we have the command to give charity, and then when we give them, it saves us from our Gehenna. Very nice, very nice. So it comes out chesed is a self-serving mitzvah. Just because it's good for the rich, the other people got to be poor to suffer? Those are the questions I should have asked you a half an hour ago, but either way, it's still fine. We didn't forget. So now, we're up to about 44 or so, back to the other parts over here, 47, 48, whatever. It comes out like this. Let's recap here. So if Avram's going to Derech Hashem, then his Hachnosas Orchim is equal to Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. It is Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina, right? And that's why Hashem loves him. And Avram's saying, I might as well do chesed out of the tent, because I'm still with the presence of Hashem. And that's what he's saying. Hashem, don't leave. Just come along with me. I know you're coming with me. Okay, fine. Now, just to understand that. So the greatness of a Jew, when he develops his character, is that he brings Hashem into his actions. And now there's a greater success of Hashem protecting him. And that's why he'll be successful. Now, this is not a reward for the person, but rather he's being empowered by Hashem. And that's so important because that's the purpose of the world. So, for example, if you see a person randomly doing a mitzvah, he's putting on tefillin, separating challah. So, bystander says, oh, why are you doing that? Well, Hashem told me to do that. Oh, I guess there's a God in heaven. But when you see a person behaving in a divine fashion, doing a chesed the way Avram did a chesed, as we'll explain, when you see a person genuinely doing something from a good heart, from a divine heart, what do you see more? You see the godliness in the action of the person himself. And that's why Hashem created the world. Is that the world that you see divinity in the action. When you do a chesed, derech Hashem chesed, or any characteristic derech Hashem, your mom is seeing Hashem doing it. That's the real tachlis of the world. Now, we do all the other mitzvahs too, but this is the real deal. Aha! So now with this, it makes a lot of sense. Now let's think for a minute. Question. We start off with, what's the basis of doing chesed? Ask a non-Jew, what's the basis of doing chesed? You're going to get a lot of answers. One answer is, it feels good. I feel it feels good. I can't eat supper knowing there's people starving in the world. I feel so guilty. Now that I'm done good, I feel, you know, I went and delivered 10 packages to the homeless. Ah, now I can feel geschmack with my meal. Or all kinds of other self-serving needs. Okay. Then there could be another reason why you do it. Well, it's hand in hand. It's because there's a need. There's a need. There's a need. And I am filling that need, which feels good. That's not divine chesed. Look at 50. The basis of doing chesed is not responding to a need, but bringing God into the world, which is the purpose of the world. When I behave in doing divine chesed, the need was that Hashem's presence should be manifest in the world. It has nothing to do with the person needing it, because Hashem could have given the thing to the person already. That's what Ternus Rufus asked. Isn't Hashem capable? Of course Hashem is capable. He doesn't need you. What does he need? What can't God do? What can't God do? God can feed everybody. Right? But he can't have people feed other people. He can't have people radiate divinity. Because that's really the best thing he wants. So Avram, he's saying, there's no guests. There's no guests. I'm not radiating divinity. And that means Hashem's presence is not manifest. Me sitting in a tent does not manifest God's existence. I mean, it's there. I'm enjoying every minute of it, but it's not manifesting anything. That's the anguish. He couldn't bring more godliness into the world because doing chesed creates a substantive presence of God in the world. This also parenthetically explains why don't we make a bracha in mitzvah bein adam l'chaveiro. Famous question the Rishonim ask. We make a bracha on all mitzvahs, but if it's a man and man, when you give tzedakah, you don't make a bracha share kiddushah mitzvah, it's an elitain tzedakah. So a lot of answers to that question. But now I think it's the most poshut answer. Why do we make a bracha? Why do Chazal institute a bracha? So we'd remember that we're doing it for God. Right? Isn't that what it's for? So I'm shaking a loaf. What am I shaking a loaf for? Be focused. You're doing it because God wants you to shake the loaf. And there's all kinds of Kabbalistic things that you don't understand what they are, but fine, you're still doing it. Otherwise, just shaking the loaf, shaking the loaf. But if a person is engaged, Bein Adam L'Chavero always means it has to work with the attribute of chesed. I don't need chesed to shake a lulav. I don't have to have any chesed, a bone in my body to shake a lulav. But when I'm doing any mitzvah, Bein Adam L'Chavero, there's going to be all kinds of midos. One of them is going to be chesed. And if I'm actually doing the chesed in the derech Hashem, the way Hashem wants it, how in the world could I not do? No, I'm doing it for Hashem. So what I need the bracha for? It's a bracha levatala. When I'm doing the chesed, I'm doing it with Hashem, so I need to be reminded about that. Right? So we can understand, maybe initially Hashem wanted to leave Avram. Maybe initially wanted to leave Avram, because, you know, the Shekhinah doesn't rest on someone who's sad. Gemara says the Shekhinah does not rest on someone who's sad. When Hashem is around, it's only joy. So Avram's sad now. There's no guests. So maybe he's saying, Hashem, don't leave me, even though I'm sad. Please don't leave me. But I'm sad. But don't leave me. But then Hashem brings him three guests. Oh, Hashem, hold on. Come with me. I'm going to do a mitzvah. Oh, he's coming with me. And don't leave. Don't leave. Stay with me. Oh, Kabbalah's Pnei Shekhinah. Kabbalah's Pnei Shekhinah. Unbelievable. Now you understand what we said 2 weeks ago from the Arizal. Arizal said, remember, Arizal says, why are midos not mitzvahs of the Torah, per se? Why do we have thou shalt not, thou shalt not, right? And what do we say? That mitzvahs are only given for divine people. And divine people can do mitzvahs, but if they don't develop their midos, that's the prerequisite to being in the mitzvah world. Once you develop your midos, what did he say? You'll find doing mitzvahs easy. Why is it easy? You know why it's easy? Because if you have Hashem's mitzvahs, you're always with Hashem. What makes doing mitzvahs hard? Well, what would make hard? You know, I get up at, today was what, 20 to 6. So I know what I'm getting up to. I got to clean off the snow from the car. And I got to make sure that, you know, that snow tires still aren't on the car and all these things. You know, and it could be hard. It could be hard, right? But if you have real developed midos and you're walking with Hashem, do you realize, Hashem, let's take the ice off the windshield together? Well, I know it's not beneath your dignity to take the ice off. So, well, we'll do it together. And now going to shul is easy. And it has to be easy. Why? Because Hashem's with you. This is profound. That's why it's easy. If you don't have good midos, then it's hard. Hashem's not with you. And now do it on your own and see how much fun it is. Well, now you have to figure out ways to make it fun. Well, that's not the Derech Hashem. That's where we corrupt chesed. Because if you're doing it without Hashem, then you got to find human ways of making chesed enjoyable. And that's not the Derech Hashem. Now, let's just a truple of ice. Yeah. Just now I have to leave in 8 minutes exactly. Yeah.
Bringing godliness into the world.
Speak louder, please.
Bringing godliness into the world. Isn't that an akut of Kiddush Hashem?
For sure that's Kiddush Hashem. That is Kiddush Hashem. But that's the Derech Hashem. You create Kiddush Hashem by Derech Hashem. Okay, so now. Okay, I'm going to just give away a little bit. We're going to start the next week's class. Just give away a little bit, so hopefully you'll forget this a little bit, so they'll come fresh to next week. Why does Gemara only say Hachnosas Orchim is like Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina? What about other acts? Like how visiting the sick, comforting mourners? Why is Hachnosas Orchim the main example that we use for this? So it's, well, I'm up to 59 and 60s. Tehillim says, Oilam chesed yibona. Hashem created the world with chesed. Okay. Now, what's the greatest chesed Hashem did by creating the world? He did the greatest chesed, it's tzimtzum. He, so to speak, contracted, whatever that means, his reality. What did he give mankind when he created the world? The answer is, he gave them nothing. But he gave them space. Space! To exist in! Because the whole world is filled with God. There's no room for anybody but God. So what did he do? He gave him space. I'll elaborate on this point next week. Right? The ultimate chesed that God created the world is he gave the world space. So when you're trying to do a chesed, and you're trying to learn the Derech Hashem, is what? How's Hashem do it? Gives up space? So you give up your space. Which now explains that wonderful Spanish expression that I'm going to mispronounce. Mi casa es a tu casa. My house is your house. I'm not pretending that I know Spanish so well. I probably butchered it, but you know what I mean. My house is your house. That's how Hashem created the world. My house is your house. And every person thinks he's got space. If you didn't feel you had space, you wouldn't feel human. So of all the chasadim that you could do, what's the one that most emulates Hashem? Achnasas Orchim, you're letting people invade your house. Well, that's already going to be a tip-off between divine kindness and not. Any chesed that doesn't allow, that doesn't say, mikasas tukasa, then it's not really divine kindness. We'll elaborate on this more next week. But now we just answer the first two questions. What are we mixing around judgment over here? Why do we ever say judgment, this and that? When a judge sits in judgment, it's Hashem's gonna stand for him. So now you understand. I mean, basically, there's basically two primary things God does. There's details that come out of it. The two primary forces are expansion and contraction. That's the primary. Everything that God, anything that happens in the world, is either expands or contracts, or some combination thereof. So the typical expansion, chesed and gvura, everything's just permutations of that. So that's tzedakah and mishpat. Tzedakah, mishpat, tzedakah, expansiveness, mishpat is contraction. Right? Expansiveness. I give, I expand. If I'm judging somebody, no, you, I'm disciplining you, I'm contracting you. So what's Hashem saying? Hashem, you know, I know he's going to teach his children to go in the Derech Hashem. And what's the two prime examples, the two polaric extremes? Tzedakah, which is expansion, and mishpat, which is contraction. Everything else is just a detail of that. So it's the same thing we just said, the whole spiel about chesed, is the same spiel if you're sitting in a court of law. When a judge sits in a court of law, he has to do mishpat how? Like the Democrats are doing it up on the hill? Is that mishpat of Hashem? Is that the Derech Hashem? Or what mishpat means... We're trying to really make sure that God's justice is enforced in this world through us. When somebody does something that's wrong, that God really doesn't need us. You go and hit somebody, God can hit you. But he says, I don't want to do it myself. Is a poor person. God can feed the poor person, but that doesn't bring divinity in the world. I'm going to have people tzedakah organizations give you. There are bad people. Look, God can't punish them? For sure he can punish them, but then there's no divinity expressed by that. So he accepts this as a court system. There's a whole court system, and only certain people could be a court. Why? Because they're the only ones who could do it, the Derech Hashem. Not going to get paid off or whatever. Therefore, when a judge sits and judges a case, he is judging it together with Hashem. And that's why Hashem says, you could sit. You could sit. Because you and me, we're mamash together. There's no difference over here. So justice is also a continuation of the legacy of Avram. It's the same expression of Derech Hashem. And when we do Hashem's work, Hashem wants us to be comfortable, no? And you can think better when you're sitting, no? When you think better, you got to sit and think. You know, if you really have to think about something really hard, you know, you're sitting and you're thinking. I mean, you might walk around, but we can't walk around in a court, you know? Sometimes when I'm thinking, I'm walking around. Yeah, but if you either have a choice to stand or sit, how can you think better when you're sitting? So Hashem says, I got to make you successful. I'm going to have you sit. So Hashem, what's he doing? He's making space again. You sit, I don't have to sit. I'll give you my chair. That's what it's all about. Giving up your space. That's the ultimate chesed. And that's why Rashi has to bring it up right in the beginning. To think, don't think we're only going to be studying mamish derech Hashem of chesed. It's going to be a rule for everything in the world. Everything in the world to understand this. Now you have the foundation. With this foundation, oh boy, it's going to be really fun next week. You know, by the way, just I got 1 minute. I said a really quick story, very, very fast. I'm not even saying the deal. So it's a big. I think it was an order Behuda given somebody else. I couldn't. Right? Anyway, there's this big, great tzaddik becomes a rabbi in a community, and there's always people in the community that always want to show up the rabbi. He doesn't know what he's doing about. Anyway, so they figured these balabatim, they're going to show up this rabbi. What do? They and rabbi has to answer shilas. So they went through the whole Shulchan Aruch. They figured, and they looked at every shilas that's in the laws of Treifas. You know, if you find a pin in a long or this and that. They come up with a case that's not in the Shulchan Aruch. I don't have to know the details. This is not important. So what do? They come to the rabbi, Tzaddikim. Oh, rabbi, we have a shiloh to ask you. Here's a chicken. And look, the pin's over here, this and that. Tell us what the law is. Now, they're coming as their errands to people. This is what happened. Want to eat the chicken. And the rabbi right away sees, wait a minute, I have to get back to you. Fine. Now they're hoping the rabbi said, I don't know the answer. Say, oh, terrible rabbi, let's get rid of him. That was their game plan. Day later, he calls him in. He says, you're liars. He says, what? He says, tell me the truth. Did you find it this way or did you make it be this way? Did you set it up this way or was it? What do you mean with that? You're lying! And he presses them till they admit that they lied. So, okay, we lied. But one thing, how did you know? That's very simple. Whenever I have to do a shaila, so I look at my svar. Fine. If I don't find a svar, I think. And if that doesn't work, I daven d'Hashem. And then I always get siyata d'shmaya, and the answer comes. So in your case, I looked in the Shulchan Aruch, I couldn't find it. I was thinking, couldn't find it. I damned them for Shat Shmai. I didn't get Shat Shmai. So I found, how come I not get Shmai? It can only be Hashem doesn't give you Shat Shmai if you don't need it. Don't need it because there's no case. That's how I knew that you rigged this. That's the idea that when a judge judges, so therefore, even if a judge makes a mistake in your case, it's the right answer for reasons I don't have to get into, but it's probably going to get into Gilgul's and in a previous lifetime you cheated somebody, you never paid him back, and now is the payback time. It's a whole discussion. I don't have time to get into it. But anyway, but that's the idea. Every action, Derech Hashem. So now next week we'll learn exactly what the Derech Hashem of Chesed is and not to make the mistake of faux Chesed. And when you have good Chesed, Derech Hashem Chesed, then any mitzvahs that relate to that will be easy to do.